Odyssey World. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up, we'll be talking about the recent and hilarious episode, Game Night.
But first, here's the latest news.
He's back. After 28 years...
Real-world years or Odyssey years?
Right. Let's say after 28 real-world years, and who knows how many Odyssey years, the Richard Maxwell has made his return to the town of Odyssey. Where, you ask?
Yep. I'll ask, where?
In the Elsewhere in Odyssey comic strip. In The Acolyte, our longest-running comic story to date, Richard appears to offer some answers in the mysterious plot surrounding Glossman.
You did just say Glossman, right?
Oh, yeah. Glossman's in the Imagination Station. Spoiler alert, but while he's in the machine, he might run into a certain evil nemesis who shall not be mentioned, but whose name rhymes with Egregious Haggard.
Intriguing.
Anyway, if you've wondered what Richard has been up to since his last regular appearance in Album 25, Darkness Before Dawn,
or his last irregular appearance in I Slap Floor,
this is your chance. Read Elsewhere in Odyssey today, only in the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I don't know if anything can follow Richard Maxwell.
But if anything could, it would be turning our attention to a side splitting comedy adventure with Wit, Connie, Jason, Jillian, Wooten, and Penny. Of course, we're talking about Game Night, the first episode in Album 74.
It's been available in the club since December, and it just released on the radio and online earlier this month.
To hear how it was created, let's talk to writer-director Marshall Younger and sound designer Luke Gonneau.
Marshall and Luke, it's great to have you guys back in the studio.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Guys, this episode that we're going to talk about today has a lot of backstory, but before we get into it, let's kick things off with our
TRQ,
which stands for Totally Random Question. This one is from a fan who goes by LaughingMan678, who asks, what is your favorite cereal? In other words, we're starting our podcast with a question about how you start your day. So who wants to go first?
I think cereal is boring, so I don't like any of it.
All right.
Oh, man. The slam on the cereal. Not even oatmeal.
Does that count?
That's not a cereal.
Yeah. I guess
that is
a cereal.
Hot cereal. I think that's
it's
what it says
hot
on the
cereal?
I don't know. It says it on the side of the...
Is that your
I never
answer,
thought
Jesse?
About that.
I do like myself a nice oatmeal, and I throw in some, you know, brown sugar and some honey. And if you doctor it up with a lot of, like, you know, dried cherries.
Okay, well, this
and
is a bit
nuts,
different now.
Then it's delicious.
This isn't Frosted Flakes and
exactly.
Milk.
How about you, Marshall?
I have not had cereal in years. I think it's been. My wife kind of stopped buying it. So that we wouldn't eat so much cereal, the kids. And so,
Well, what'd you like when you were a kid? Maybe that's what.
What I like when I was a kid?
Yeah.
Did they do Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Oh, yeah.
As a kid? Yeah. Okay. That would have been my favorite as a kid. Yep.
Okay. All right. Laughing Man. Huh?
You didn't say what your favorite is.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's kind of like a lot of other things. What are you in the mood for at any given time? You know, I'm kind of a Frosted Mini Wheats guy. I kind of like Cheerios. But not the really sugary stuff, if I can avoid that.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the sugary, more sugary, the better for me.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
All right. Laughing Man, 678. There you go. That's the answer.
So, Marshall, Game Night started as a show with a somewhat different cast,
yep.
Right? In fact, in the original script, it featured Eugene and Katrina instead of Jason and Jillian. So what else would have been different had we recorded your original version?
Okay, so Will Ryan and Katie Lee, who plays Eugene and Connie, respectively, were always hounding us being the writers, to write scripts that allowed their characters to banter back and forth. They
right.
loved arguing. Well, in real life and in scripts. But they always pointed to the episode License to Drive, which was the episode that we recorded it like, 30 years ago?
So good.
Something like that, where Connie teaches Eugene how to drive. And there was a lot of witty banter in that show. Well, Game Night was going to be that. I was going to throw him a bone and say, okay, here's a show for you. You can do this one. It was a show that where Connie and Eugene got to do a lot of bantering back and forth. And in fact, they were the two most prominent characters in the show.
Oh.
And their banter was about their differing parenting techniques because, you know, Eugene was now officially Buck's parent and Connie was is acting as a parent to Jules. And Connie felt like Eugene was being more permissive with his with Buck.
Mm.
And it was making her look bad with Jules. So that was what their argument was about. And they were also bantering back and forth because they were game partners. And they weren't connecting on any level, as you can imagine. Well, we couldn't record it that way because it was right when Will Ryan got sick and eventually passed away. So we canceled the show. And I went back later to involve Jason and Jillian instead of Eugene and Katrina. The Jason and Jillian part ended up working out okay because of the element where Jillian has to play the fool because there were people who didn't know that she was a secret agent. And being Jason's partner, that, of course, drove him crazy.
Yeah, the sparring was a lot of fun. I think you did touch on that a little bit in Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles, which is a club show from a couple of years back. It had a bit of that feel to it.
Well, I've decided to do this kind of experiment because I thought to myself, okay, we've got all these really well-drawn characters, these really funny characters, and they relate to each other in funny ways. Why don't we just put them all in a room and see what happens? And that was what we did with Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles, and that's what we did with Game Night as well.
It worked.
And I think it, because the actors play off each other so well, and the characters do as well.
Yeah, the characters are great at playing off each other, and especially Wooten. In this episode, Wooten mentions a game called Fork Wars. Okay, so we actually had a question from a listener wanting to know, how do you play that? So can you maybe just give us the rules right here?
Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was changed to Spoon Wars, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was changed to Spoon Wars in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We were kind of debating which one was funnier, Fork Wars or Spoon Wars. The conclusion we came to is that Fork Wars sounds like it could be really violent.
More dangerous.
And more dangerous.
For sure.
Yeah. Spoon Wars is where you put a spoon on a table and you fling it with your finger and to try to hit the enemy's target. I don't know. I just completely made it up.
Well, the rounded edges are safer.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got dibs. Spoon Wars TM.
Right? Yeah. I played spoons growing up, but never Spoon Wars.
Exactly. No, there are no rules to that game. It was all in Wooten's very fertile imagination.
Well, you had a last-minute crisis when actress Monica Padilla, who plays Jillian, couldn't be with us in California. Talk about that, Marshall, and why adding her lines in later, you know, wilding them in, really would have been harder for a show like this.
Yeah, we were planning to have Monica in the studio with us. This show is the kind of show that we relied on a lot of actor chemistry because there's a lot of back and forth banter and a lot of time where a bunch of people were in the same room and they needed to play off of each other. So we really wanted to be able to record all of the actors live at the same time. We do sometimes have the option of adding a single actor's lines later. It's called wilding. Mm-hmm. But in this case, that would have messed with the chemistry. But Monica had a last-minute emergency where she had to go to Florida. So we found a studio in Florida just about 45 minutes away from where she was staying. And lo and behold, it was the studio of a familiar face.
That's right.
Right. And that brings in Rob Jorgensen here to the podcast. So, Rob, welcome back to the Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. Fun to be here.
And for fans who don't know, can you briefly describe your history with Odyssey?
Sure. I started working at Focus on the Family in 1994 and was invited to join the Odyssey team in 99. So I had the privilege of producing shows during the Paul Herlinger era. Loved him. We became close friends, really enjoyed my friendship with Paul. And so I got to work on shows that were in the Novacom series. I did Push the Red Button. I did, you know, Snow Day, Slumber Party, Great Wishy Was, just some of those old fun classics. And then since I've left Focus, I've still had the opportunity to produce shows from my own studio. So the last one I did for Odyssey was Crash Course.
Ah.
As well as podcasts, right?
Yes, I work on the podcast as well.
So, Rob, how did you get pulled into this episode?
Well, this world of kids' audio drama is pretty small, and so Luke Gano and I have been friends for a lot of years, and he had spent some time with me in my studio here in Florida. So I think, Luke, you're the one who brought it up, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, when I heard that Monica was in Florida and needed a studio, the first thing I think of when I think of Florida is Rob Jorgensen. So I was wondering if something could maybe work out.
Which it did, and Rob, we recorded Monica at your house, which had to be a thrill for your kids. Talk about your family and what their reaction was upon hearing that Jillian would be recording at your home.
It was really an exciting time. So my two younger kids were not around in my Odyssey days when I was living in Colorado Springs. So they were born later. So they've always heard stories of Odyssey recordings, and I tell them the behind-the-scenes stuff that I worked on in my shows. But we're club members, and so we're totally up on all the current episodes. And honestly, they loved the Jillian storyline. She's one of their favorite characters. So when they heard that we were not only going to be recording here at the house in our studio here, but that it was Monica who was coming, my daughter said, "I'm literally shaking right now." And then she, as we were talking here, she just whispered to me and said, "Actually, I started crying." So it was really exciting. So Katie and Sam got to be in the studio and watch the whole thing happen. It was really a thrill.
Ah, that's really cool. And with Jillian being a secret agent, it seemed like it was appropriate that she recorded in a secret recording booth in your home. So what's secret about it?
This is just between us, right?
Yes.
This isn't going to get out.
Four million people that are listening right now.
So, yeah, when we bought the house that we currently have, it just so happened that the home office backed up to a storage room. And so I worked with our architect, and we literally put in a wall of bookshelves. And one of the bookshelves opens as the door into the recording space.
Wow.
So you walk into the studio and you don't have any clue that on the other side is this magical recording space. It's pretty cool.
That sounds like fun. Back to you now, Marshall. This episode was first intended as a club story, but then moved to album 74. Why is that?
Well, when it was Eugene's show originally, it was scheduled to appear in the club because it had no real connection to anything going on in the albums. It was just a one-off show that had nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. But when we decided to feature Jason and Jillian, it was a perfect show to come after the 28 Hours album because it followed onto the storyline where Jillian had to keep her identity secret to people who didn't know she was an agent.
Right.
So we put it in album 74.
Wow. And then that demanded a quick turnaround. I think this was recorded just 6 weeks before it was in the club. And that's just unheard of. Luke, you're the one who had to pick up that ball and run with it. So how did you finish this episode so quickly? And was there anything that you did ahead of time to sort of prepare yourself?
Yeah. Well, usually we do record Odyssey episodes a lot more in advance of the release date. I think it's usually like 6 to 12 months ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
So with recording this show just 6 weeks before the club premiere, it was important for me to make sure my schedule was cleared of any other shows that were going on or any other projects. And check with John Campbell to make sure he had availability to score the show, to write the music, and to make sure the rest of the Odyssey team was going to be available within my time frame to give critiques and notes and to get the show all the way through to mastering.
Mm. Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is like the first show that we did that we actually recorded on Monday of the recording week, mm-hmm. and then we sent it to you immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you could get started on it.
Yeah.
While we were recording the rest of the shows.
Yeah, yeah. You guys were at the session. Chris Steele and Zach Schneider were the sound designers that time, and they sent me all the files as soon as the actors finished recording. So it was really cool that post-production was able to begin happening here in Colorado just like a couple hours after.
Yeah,
it's the first time we've ever received an email scheduling the playback while we were still sitting in the recording studio.
Yeah.
We all had a good laugh about that one. Well, this doesn't sound like the easiest show to produce either, Lou. For one thing, there were a lot of scenes featuring five or six people at a time. Does juggling that many characters make scenes harder?
Mm. Well, having that many people in a scene at the same time makes it a lot harder. I need to keep track of where everyone is in the scene and where I'm positioning the characters' voices and their foley. What's probably most important, though, is picking and choosing which characters are going to be heard at what times, especially if everyone's laughing or talking or reacting at once. Otherwise it just becomes like a wall of noise. Mm. You need to figure out what's most important to highlight at
how
a certain
to
time.
Sort of pull certain ones to the foreground.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What was something about the show that really wasn't very hard that maybe you expected would be?
I mean, I just enjoyed working on this show. I mean, I love hearing from the main characters and, I love coming up with sound effect ideas for when Penny was being charged by the ants. And, like, there wasn't really anything in the script other than, like, Penny screams kind of thing. And so I was like, I don't know, could happen kind of thing.
And we had like, glasses breaking and things like that.
And you can really interpret it however you want. I mean, so.
Cats screeching.
I mean, whatever.
And Penny's voice was special on the show because she was on the phone. Mm-hmm. So she was kind of filtered throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
So a two-part question. Marshall, first, why did you decide ahead of time to have her remote in for the show? And then Luke, tell us about how you pulled that off on the production side.
Well, this was a writing decision that was kind of forced on me. But because actor union rules, COVID restrictions were still in place for productions, which means that we couldn't have more than one actor in the same room at the same time. Well, we had five slots to use in our studio, and we had six people in the show. As I said before, we usually wanted to record the actors live if we can, which meant that we had to figure out what to do with the sixth person. Well, there's a tiny little closet adjacent to the main studio, and it's soundproof. It has microphone connections, and so you can record from in there. The problem is that the sound isn't great. So we use it exclusively for a character who is on the phone because, you know, phone quality isn't great either. Yes. Yeah. And we call it the Whit Hertford closet because Whit Hertford, who plays Jace Mouse, was the first person to use it. I'm not sure what show that was, but yeah, he was. So I knew this was our dilemma. So instead of Penny coming with Wooten to the party, I had her calling in on the phone. As it turns out, we didn't even use the Whit Hertford closet because Monica recorded from Florida and it opened up a slot. But having Penny on the phone ended up being pretty funny, I think. I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Interestingly enough, I think this was actually the first episode recorded since March of 2020 where we had some actors recording in the same physical space, you know, because of COVID rules.
Right,
we haven't been
able
to do that for a while. But since Penny was on the phone the entire show, she still needed to be recorded separately, as you said. Mm-hmm. More so the effect would work properly, filtering it for the phone effect, especially in a show like this where everyone's ad-libbing and overlapping each other, that isolation is, like, essential.
Yeah. So thinking back on the show, even though Monica was thousands of miles away, having everyone record did give it more of a family feel. For any of you, how can you quantify what recording at the same time adds to an episode?
Well, from my perspective, hearing just Monica talk between takes, she was mentioning things like the relationship that she has with the actors because she's been in the studio with them really did transfer. Even though she was distant, she still felt that family connection even across the mile. So there's just no replacing being in the studio together and building genuine friendships.
Definitely.
Huh. And it saves so much time in post-production, too, to have everyone in the same room at the same time. Everyone's there. They're matching each other's intensity and pacing. It takes a lot of the guesswork.
You know, that's a really good point, Luke, because energy level, especially in a show like this, really does matter. If these people recorded independently and wild it in, there might be some real differences in terms of what people bring to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Different projection levels, different. Yeah. Especially when those fast-paced scenes, Wooten and Penny playing the card game, Jason, Jillian. I think it was really great that we were able to do this this way.
Right. And for you to be able to complete it in 6 weeks, I know as a writer, I'll go back and I'll look at a story and I'll be like, oh, I could have tweaked that a little bit or changed that a little bit. Did you have any of those same feelings when you went back and listened to the episode, things you might have wanted to change?
Well, directing-wise, I had two moments where people got angry. And it was Penny when she got mad at Wooten for the ants or for the popsicle thing. Uh-huh. And then Whit at everyone for badgering him about his bruise. And I think they might have come across a little too mad. So maybe I was angry when I was directing that. I don't know. But anyway, that's one thing that I kind of wish was different.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything specific I'd change, but I'd love to work on more episodes like this again, Marshall. Our main Odyssey characters just hanging out and having a good time. So when's the next one coming up?
I don't know. Maybe, well, actually, we do have another one coming up. There's a Christmas episode. Or spoiler, there's a Christmas episode that where they're all at wit's end exchanging gifts.
Ah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Club episode for December of this year.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, guys, for stepping away from your other creative endeavors of the moment so that we can talk about Game Night. And I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk about some of these other projects as they come along.
Sounds
it was
great.
A pleasure.
Thanks.
And Rob, thank you for joining us by phone. It's always great to hear your voice.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You can hear Game Night and the rest of Album 74, Buckle Up, in the club right now.
Or you can get it on CD or download. The rest of the album continues to air on the radio and online, including a new episode this weekend.
That's right. It's called Value in the Process, and it picks up where the story of Suzu and Mori left off in The Team. Let's hear a preview.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, Mori and Whit disagree over his school schedule.
I want you to take the basic programming course at Odyssey Middle School.
I still don't get why I have to take that class.
And once the class begins...
I was wondering...
Oh, here it comes.
Can you help me out with the programming, please?
I really have to do this.
Will Trey and Mori be able to work together? Find out on the next adventure in Odyssey.
Again, you can hear that episode this weekend on the radio or online. We'll also have links on our website,
which is adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast. You can join the club there, too.
Now that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family.
You can always call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.
Adventures in Odyssey has taken generations of children on an exciting journey, all the while sharing biblical principles and activating their imaginations. Now, in 2024, we'll be airing our 1,000th episode. To celebrate, we're inviting every member of the Odyssey family to join us for one grand party. This spectacular two-day event is packed with fun and excitement for Adventures in Odyssey fans of every age. Partygoers will enjoy an unmatched, immersive experience into the town of Odyssey. Meet and greets with cast and crew, Q&A sessions, trivia contests, and more. The party is topped off with a live episode recording starring fan favorite characters. It's all happening on August 2nd and 3rd in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tickets for One Grand Party are going fast. Learn more at onegrandparty.com.